First, sitting down with a blanket and turning on the Hallmark Channel is a holiday tradition for many people and families. But there are also lots of people who can't stand these made-for-TV movies and look down on them as low quality or derivative. Their popularity seems to be rising, as Hallmark, for example, says it made 40 new Christmas movies this year compared to just 23 in 2020, which still seems like a lot. And Hallmark isn't the only game in town. The Lifetime Network makes its own holiday movies. And on streaming, Netflix lists a handful of holiday movies in its top 10 most popular movies right now. Love them or hate them, they're here for the holidays, and they're a surefire way to pass the time during this week's winter storm. Our own Larry Mueller is a fan, by the way. He sent us a note saying, "I like those cheesy movies, but don't quote me on that." Whoops, I quoted him on that. And you could join in, too, at 800-642-1234. Are you a fan of the holiday, the Christmas movies on Hallmark, Lifetime, or elsewhere? What do you like about them? Or if you're not a fan, what do you dislike about them? Do you have a favorite you'd like to share with us? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Elena Levine is a professor of English at UW-Milwaukee. Her research and teaching focuses on media studies and television. Elena, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Can you give us the basics of what people who are in for when they watch these movies? For people who maybe haven't checked them out, are there common themes that we might encounter here?
Oh, there's definitely some common themes in these holiday time movies. They tend to lean towards the romantic comedy genre, and they often have they're often set in very, you know, small, idyllic kinds of towns and communities. And they often have a storyline where a couple has a kind of unexpected cute meeting where they encounter each other. Often one of them is coming from outside this idyllic town or returning to it. And they kind of find a way to both to each other and eventually tend to fall in love, but also usually there's some additional message of goodwill towards the community or an extended family or something like that. There's this kind of feel good message on multiple levels.
Now, these things, these holiday movies have been around for quite a while now, but it seems like they've gotten bigger and bigger in recent years, just in terms of sheer numbers. Do you see this as kind of a rising Christmas-themed trend?
For sure. This has become an increasingly big part of the television business in particular. And it's kind of amazing, as you were talking about at the beginning, how much this pattern has grown in recent years. Of course, we have an expansion in all kinds of television, right? There's just way more television content than we've ever had in the past because we have so many platforms and outlets and they need content to fill them. And so this is definitely part of that movement, but it's kind of fascinating that this is a space and a genre that starts to take up so much of that real estate this time of year on all of these different channels and streaming platforms.
Now, the dig on these movies from people who don't like them are they're formulaic, they're predictable. And, you know, these aren't things I watch, but a lot of things I do like, you know, sometimes they are. Sometimes you want something that's formulaic and predictable. Maybe if you're dealing with holiday stress, that's exactly what you want. Do you see anything wrong with this as a genre?
Oh, gosh, no, I don't see anything wrong with it. I mean, I think people should enjoy what they enjoy and that we should probably be less judgmental about those kinds of things as a whole in the big picture, right? Nobody is ready to take on really weighty content every second that they're engaging with their entertainment media. But I think you touched on something really true, which is that people are looking for some kind of feel-good escape fantasy type content this time of year in particular. Maybe they're dealing with stress in their real lives. You know, as much as this can be a happy time for many people, it's also a stressful time for many people. And so this kind of content allows for that sort of downtime feeling and that kind of escape. And it also is, you know, a way of kind of experiencing this time of year. It's a ritual or a tradition like people have with lots of other things around the holidays. And so watching this kind of content can kind of fit that hole as well for people. So there's lots of ways in which it can be a, you know, rewarding experience for the viewers. And I don't think we should look down on it necessarily. If it's not your thing, fine. You know, there's plenty of other content for somebody to consume if they want to watch something. But definitely there's you know, lots and lots of people who do enjoy it.
Talking to Elena Levine, professor of English at UW-Milwaukee, looking at holiday movies, Christmas movies on, you know, your Hallmarks, your Lifetime, these made-for-TV movies. They're a big business. Lots of people watch them. Do you? Are you a fan of these? Do you have holiday rituals built around them on your own or with your family? Do you have a favorite? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Are you watching one right now? It's pretty good multitasking if you're listening to me talk at the same time. 800-642-1234 is the number, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. All right, we've got a taste of some of these movies. Here's one. These don't often have big names. Here's one that does. Lindsay Lohan, Falling for Christmas. This is on Netflix. It's a story about normal stuff. A newly engaged heiress has an accident, loses her memory, falls in love with another man. Here's a listen.
Sheriff, could you please tell her to let me out of here?
First, we need to figure out who you are.
What do you mean, who I am? My name is...
So what are we supposed to do with her?
I have a place.
Does it have room service?
From the trailer for Falling for Christmas with Lindsay Lohan. A lot of movies have used that memory loss plot device. I've talked to you about soap operas. It comes up there, too. We go back to these familiar themes in our holiday movies, apparently.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, I think the comparison to soap operas is not an accident, right? These movies are certainly watched by everyone, but I think they're imagined as having a primarily female audience, which is also the audience that is assumed to be the main audience for soap operas. Again, what the imagined audience is, who that is, and who actually watches aren't always exactly the same. But there's definitely a way in which these movies draw on some of the patterns that are familiar to us from lots of forms of media and culture associated with women, whether they're soap operas, romance novels, you know, other kinds of TV movies, you know, all kinds of cultural forms, definitely romantic comedies in terms of feature films that are associated with women and that tend to kind of tell lighthearted fantasy stories that might not, you know, cue that closely to reality, but that people find connection to, at least maybe in terms of the emotions that the characters experience, that they get to experience through those characters. So, you know, the example that you were showing of this newer movie with Lindsay Lohan is a good example of drawing on exactly those kinds of, you know, those traits, those aspects of the storytelling. Now, I mean, no one probably would claim that those things are wholly original or ideas that nobody's thought of before. And in some ways, that's the point. You know, the point is to see these kind of tried and true formulas kind of played out in a new form. And there's pleasure in seeing that.
And part of the story, I think, is the economics here. These aren't movies, you know, this isn't a Mission Impossible with bankable stars like Tom Cruise. It's not a Marvel star-studded superhero movie. By Hollywood standards, we can make a lot of these movies for fairly cheap, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's a big part of the explanation for why these exist. They're sort of the audience part. People do like them, but there's a kind of media business part of it too here, where these are produced quickly at relatively low budgets, and they just don't cost that much to make compared to other kinds of content that cable channels, broadcast networks, streaming platforms can generate. And so that's why there's so many of them, is that they are in some ways a formula enough that they can be created at relatively low cost. And, you know, they have quick production schedules. A lot of these movies employ actors who have worked a lot in TV. Some actually are like daytime soap opera actors or former daytime soap opera actors, other actors who've been in episodic television. And, you know, those kinds of working conditions are very fast. People need to learn their lines quickly. They need to deliver quickly once the cameras are on. And these are, you know, actors who are used to that kind of thing because they've done that in other jobs. And so all of these factors come together to help make this a relatively inexpensive form of production that is, you know, suiting the interests of the businesses who are creating and distributing these movies for us.
We're talking to UW-Milwaukee English professor Elena Levine about made-for-TV holiday movies on Hallmark, plus Lifetime, streaming platforms like Netflix. Want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Are you a fan? Do you see it as a guilty pleasure? Don't. You can enjoy them. No shame about it. We'd love to hear what you watch, what you like about them, who you watch them with, or if you do it solo, let us know about it. 800-642-1234. I know you're out there. 800-642-1234 if you want to share your love of these seasonal made-for-TV Christmas and other holiday movies. 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our conversation with Elena Levine, English professor at UW-Milwaukee, who focuses on television and digital media, with us today to talk about the made-for-TV holiday movies that some of us love a lot, some folks love to hate. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Nobody calling in on this. Maybe you're watching those Hallmark movies right now. Maybe you're shy about sharing your love for them. Love to hear from you. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. Do you enjoy hunkering down with one of these, say, Hallmark Christmas movies this time of year? 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Now, most of these movies are Christmas movies. Not all. Here's a clip from Hallmark's newest Jewish holiday movie, Hanukkah on Rye, about a matchmaker pairing two competing deli owners.
I've signed you up with a very famous matchmaker in Brooklyn, Rose Mazansky.
Who?
Why?
Because you need her. And she has a 100% success record.
100%?
That's impossible.
She doesn't do anything with the internet. No apps, no Instabook.
Now I'm going to try to correct you there.
She does everything the old-fashioned way. It's wonderful.
Hanukkah on Rye from Hallmark. Mostly, as I mentioned, Elena, these are Christmas-themed. Do you see more branching out or the potential for more branching out?
Yeah, I think one of the fascinating things that's been happening as the quantity of these movies has increased over time is that they've also started to diversify a bit. They tend to be pretty standard. Like we were saying, they tend to be explicitly Christmas themed. They tend to feature heterosexual couples. They tend to feature white couples. But we're starting to see more and more diversity there. Hanukkah on Rye is a good example of that, of having occasional movies that are holiday themed but feature Jewish characters or a mixed religion pair, and where a holiday like Hanukkah might play a part. There's also the occasional same-sex couple in these stories. There's definitely more racial and ethnic diversity more broadly across these movies over time. And it's kind of been fascinating to see how something that seemed to be a very standard, typical kind of genre type has started to branch off into a variety of different forms. Now, they still tend to have the same kind of hokey feel-good messaging, right? As even that trailer for Hanukkah on Rye makes clear. So there's not that much difference. But the kind of diversity they're sharing is not very substantive, right? We're not getting into like the different, you know, in-depth cultural experiences of different kinds of groups or communities, but it's still kind of offering a little bit more variety in what we're seeing through those kinds of representations.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Mike is with us in Green Bay. Mike, hi.
So, yeah, hello. So you need to understand that I grew up as the most cynical kid from the west side of Chicago, and now we live in Green Bay, okay? So my wife would watch these things, and I would just make fun. So finally, I watched one with her, and now I am hooked. And every single night, we watch Hallmark. And, you know, it's something that we do together, right? And, you know, sometimes we say the lines that we know are coming up, and we figure out what time the conflict is going to be resolved based on where they're at, you know, on the clock. Yeah, and it's just, it's kind of a silly, feel-good, mindless, wonderful thing that we do together. But like I said, I just, you know, I made fun of us.
And you lived happily ever after, Mike, it sounds like, watching these movies together.
Oh, I'm telling you, that's what, you know, that's what keeps us together. The, you know, the couple that, you know, watches together, stays together. You know?
I love it. Mike, thank you so much for sharing that story. Elena, if we give them a chance, they can lure us in.
Absolutely. I love that story. It was such a great example of how these things can appeal to anybody. And I also love Mike's description of the kind of predicting that they do as they watch. And that's like a pleasure of watching these that we might not think of, right? Like, oh, they're so, the critics might say they're so formulaic, you know exactly what's going to happen. But that can be part of the fun, right? When you know something is going to fall out a certain way, there's a lot of, you know, pleasure in predicting what's going to happen next and knowing the moment at which something's going to happen, knowing the lines they're going to say. That's great. And so I think it's a really good example of how people can get all kinds of things out of these experiences that we might not realize on first glance.
Thanks so much for sharing that story with us at 800-642-1234. Linda joins us now in Bayfield. Linda, hi.
Hi.
What do you think? Do you watch these?
No.
Why not?
I watched one. If you've seen one, you've seen them all.
So you're not going back, Linda. You weren't lured in.
No, not going to be lured in.
All right, Linda. Thanks a lot. So that is a negative for Linda, Elena. We were talking earlier that predictability, and for Mike too, that predictability can be a selling point too.
Sure, right. Some people are turned off by that, and some people find that pleasurable, right? And of course, there's lots of things that we watch, right, that have that predictable pattern. And we watch them to get that experience of being able to know what's going to happen or to experience the emotion that it's going to deliver us the same way every time. But some people, you know, might get that in other places in their lives, and they might want more variety when they sit down to watch something on TV. So you definitely get those different kinds of appeals. But yeah, something about these movies seems to reach a wider audience than we might assume.
Thanks for that call, Linda, at 800-642-1234. We're talking about made-for-TV Christmas and other holiday movies. Elena Levine is with us from UW-Milwaukee. You can still join in at 800-642-1234 if you're a fan or a non-fan, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. You mentioned, Elena, usually these are opposite-sex couples. A Hallmark has a new film out this year called The Holiday Sitter, which sees a workaholic bachelor fall in love with a neighbor he recruits to help him babysit. Here, this is from the trailer.
I like Sam, but I need someone who puts his family first.
Sam is the first guy in a long time to make you look really happy.
I don't know what I'm doing.
You're risking your heart.
Is it always this terrifying?
Yep. I hate to tell you, but it is. Now, go get your guy.
We had an agreement, but things changed. Yeah,
I don't care about the agreement. You're what's important to me, and that's what I was coming to tell you.
Do you think we're going to see more same-sex couples in our Hallmark movies in the future, Elena?
I do. I think that we're seeing, you know, in the mainstream, more if not support, acceptance of same-sex couples throughout our society. And the Hallmark movies, or the Christmas, these kind of TV Christmas movies, are a good sort of testing point of that. Also, as there's just more and more of these, as I was saying, they're starting to kind of diversify and nicheify more. There starts to be like this niche of the holiday movies and that niche, and so there's kind of a brand for everyone out there. And I think certainly audiences beyond LGBT audiences may be watching same-sex Christmas and holiday movies, but they're, you know, there's definitely all types. And, you know, increasingly, you know, this year we have a new channel called the Great American Family Channel, which is a more kind of explicitly Christian-oriented channel that's making these kinds of movies as a kind of move away from the kinds of diversity you're seeing when you start to see Christmas and holiday movies with same-sex couples. So there's some people who are wanting a more traditional world that doesn't, you know, kind of make room for those kinds of social developments and acceptances. And then there's some people who are happy to see those shifts in the movies that they might watch. And so there's kind of a space for all of this because there's so many of these movies now.
Time for one more caller. Neil is with us in Eau Claire. Neil, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to tell us about, Neil?
Well, my wife is a big fan of these movies, and I told her that I would watch them with her if she allowed me to play the Hallmark movie drinking game.
Which is?
Which, Every time there is some kind of cliche that occurs in a movie, and they all the movies have the same cliches, you get to take a drink. For example, if there's a character named Ivy, if there's a snowball fight, if they drink hot chocolate, decorate a Christmas tree, go ice skating. And
Neil, my friend, very, very small drinks, okay? Let's be safe out there. Thanks a lot, Neil. I'm glad, hey, you found a way to bring it together and watch these with your wife. I appreciate that. Elena, I got to ask, on a personal level, are you, you know, we got a snowy long weekend coming up here. Are you going to hunker down and watch some of these?
I think so. I mean, I think with the snow coming in and starting to wind down work for the holiday, it seems like the perfect time. So I will definitely be checking some out.
Elena, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
That's Elena Levine, professor of English at UW-Milwaukee. Her research and teaching focuses on media studies and television. She is with us today to talk about the cultural touchstone, tradition for many now, of Hallmark and other made-for-TV holiday movies. Still time for you to share your favorites. If you watch these, if you love to hate watch these, let us know. Head over to the Ideas Network Facebook page and tell us about it, or you can email ideas@wpr.org.